Hey, everybody, enjoy this episode. Become a member, members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and become a member to support this program. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here. Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
You know, I was joking with Andrew. Andrew's with us, yes? Or just Tyler?
Yeah,
okay, good.
I'm right here.
Tyler Blake. I was joking with Andrew. I said, I'm a pretty high capacity guy. I am overwhelmed by the incoming right now. Are you Andrew,
Charlie,
and Tyler in a similar position?
You're the most high capacity guy I've ever seen, actually. I'm not just trying to, like, Charlie Kirk during the show will be managing like 6 to 7 different like high capacity tasks, messaging everybody all at the same time. And, yeah, he finally told me, like, Andrew, I need some space this morning dealing with everything we got going on.
It's too much. I mean, I have a lot of people reaching out. And by the way, really, really great stuff. That's why I was like, I got to make a call. All right, Tyler, speaking of incoming.
Well, I want to recognize on that incoming front, because we are managing right now thousands of people still that are out there. Through our at Turning Point Action, we've been blessed to have so many great full-time people, so many great volunteers. Right now in the state of Arizona, as we close out this election, and of course, no better way to close out than Arizona, Maricopa County. You know, it makes perfect sense, Mountain Time Zone. I mean, why wouldn't this be the last place to finish counting votes? We now have over 1,500 people who have signed up, trained, and are out curing ballots. And so what this means is we ran the numbers last night. Charlie came over to HQ. I think we were there close to midnight again last night, and I was with the team with Matthew Martinez, who will hopefully make his Charlie Kirk Show debut very shortly, because we will be going up ahead is the goal. But just crunching the numbers on what's left in Maricopa County, what's left in the rest of the state of Arizona, and what is the likelihood of how those votes will break. We did get a drop earlier today, as you mentioned on your show, of 23,000 ballots. It was a small drop for Maricopa County. It was a little bit unexpected because they've been doing afternoon drops, and they said that they were going to do a mid-morning drop. But it broke 58% for Carrie Lake, 40% for Ruben Gallego, which, of course, is way above what she needs.
Way above our estimates. The last two drops were way above anything. We estimated a 50-50 drop in Maricopa, and she will now exceed that.
Blue Anon was talking about how, and the Blue Anon Twitter, the hopium, it's so funny because now you're seeing there's a lot of hopium coming out of the left. And this is a really different perspective from last time, Charlie, with Carrie. It was last time we saw a lot of goading online. There was a lot of chatter against the right. You're not seeing that this time, which, you know, you can infer whatever you want from that. I think everybody's on pins and needles waiting for these returns to come in. And really anything could happen still. I think it's still, we talked about this being a 50-50 race for Kerry. It's going to be very close. When I say very close, we're talking tens of thousands of votes is what's going to make the difference here, which is a fraction of a percentage point in this election, potentially. But you look at this last time, the recorder's office, typically they can't release results, but they know results before everybody else. And so when they see these results and they go through and they start adjudicating and curing and are going through the curing process and setting ballots aside, and before they release things and they have to go through all the processes that they have to do in order to fully count and transmit the results, you start seeing people react and act differently. And definitely there's a different vibe in the room this time than there was in 2022. In 2022, you know, there was definitely an emanating, you know, haughtiness that was coming out of the recorder's office. And the recorder was definitely not a Carrie Lake fan. It's definitely not a conservative fan. Stephen Richer is by all he calls himself a Republican, ran as a Republican, but had the support of all the Democrats in the state. That's why he lost his primary so handily. But we're not seeing that, again, emanate from there. And what we're seeing is this, and this is getting really into the weeds, and we'll talk about this a little bit more later tonight probably, but we have legislative races that are extraordinarily competitive in very competitive districts in North Phoenix and Scottsdale and West Mesa, in particular in the Valley, that these races are the ones that are seemingly having ballots be counted last. And so I have a theory that's not, they're not only zeroed in on Carrie Lake, but they're also zeroed in on the embarrassment that they're going to suffer if the Democrats basically give up 5 or 6 additional House seats and a couple Senate seats that are going to really tell a story here in Arizona of a massive red landslide. And again, it's not that we're not there yet. We're still a long way away. No red wave talk, none of that. But President Trump does seem to have uplifted a significant amount of these. Our program, our ballot chasing program, uplifted a ton of these people. And we may be able to squeak by with a bunch of wins at the local level. That's definitely going to tell a story beyond Carrie Lake.
Andrew, do you have some thoughts here? And just again, I Tyler is still more bullish than I am on the Arizona thing, partially because of 2022 vibes. But I will say this, and this is breaking news, not breaking, but it's a vibe shift. Bill Malusian, who I really respect, but definitely is super careful with this stuff. Would you agree, Andrew? Has now said,
oh, yeah,
ballot counts in Arizona continue to go in Carrie Lake's favor. Keep an eye on this race. By the way, I have bookmarked on my Twitter everyone who called Ruben Gallego a victory. I have it all bookmarked. And we know who you are, including reporters, by the way, who can't do math, including reporters. Just so we're clear, the remaining math is that Carrie Lake needs 52.84% of all remaining Arizona statewide ballots. Are there 700,000-ish ballots remaining, Tyler? Is that right?
I sent debate. Over to you guys the graph here. Let me send it over again. We can pull it up if we want to. This is the remaining ballots by county. And again, it's less about statewide.
I think it's 780,000, right?
It's less by statewide. It's more by these different counties. So
that's one of the things that's cool about this, Charlie, is, you know, you can see by if they estimate like 77% of total ballots are in statewide, we're below that figure substantially in I'm going to say unintentionally, Cochise County Yuma County.
Blake's trying to mispronounce all the county names just specifically to tick off the Indian tribes.
Whereas they're 100% in from Santa Claus County.
Yeah. So the counties, there's basically a way to look at Arizona, Charlie, and Andrew and Blake, and there's four buckets. There's four buckets, okay? There's two buckets in Maricopa County, and then there's the rest of the state. The two buckets in Maricopa County that are left to count are the early drops. So the late early drops. So the late early drops are Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Those have to be counted pretty much first. So that 23,000 that got counted today, it was from that bucket. The second bucket is the drop-offs on election day. Maricopa County announced yesterday at 6 p.m. while we were streaming, it's 229,000 ballots. Those should and typically look a lot like election day, but and the build out of that actually looks
it's a little less, 5 points less, so 5 points worse.
But we're optimistic on that because they probably would have mailed in their ballots more consistently.
But let me repeat, those typically look a lot like the same as election day. Now, we don't know how those are going to break. Last time, they broke a little bit less. The time before that, they broke a little bit more. You have a scenario, I think, that's playing out this time, which is that people were mentally bringing their ballots because Maricopa County screwed up the election so bad in 2022, that there could very well be a possibility that there's an uncounted, more conservative bend to this drop. Mainly because people showed up intending to vote in person, but they chose not to vote in person. We had an undervote in person this time than what we were projecting. And I believe that there were probably more people that showed up and dropped off their ballots because they got there and they said, you know what? It's fine. I'll just drop it off. I feel good about it. The other two buckets that exist within the state, Charlie, Andrew, and Blake, are you have all of the remaining counties and then you have Pima County. All the other remaining counties are going to break for Kerry, and they have so far well over 65%. Yavapai County is days behind on their scanning because it's two ballots within each ballot. So it's two pieces of paper, and it's setting things way behind. They're worried they're not going to be done by Sunday. You have Pima County, who traditionally has gone very slow. It's just Northern Mexico. The University of Northern Mexico, U of A, does not produce the fat. No, I'm just teasing. I'm an ASU grad, so I have to tease U of A. But they have 136,000 ballots. Those ballots also on election day, nearing election day, tend to have been more conservative because there's a ton of rural space in Pima County. So if you look at the map that's on there, Pima County is huge. True. And so what happens is that you get a lot of late earlies because people finally drop it in, they come in, or they vote early or emergency, and then on election day they drop off their ballots as well. So you could have a really ugly Pima County drop. I think the ugliest it's going to get for Kerry is a minus 10, which it would still be okay.
This year I've given you so many reasons to try Balance in Nature, but I've got one you cannot ignore. Let's review some of the other reasons first with Balance of Nature. You get a whole product made from whole fruit and veggie ingredients. Second, they can provide you with so many of the things you may be missing. Third, it could be just what you've been looking for to make you feel better. And of course, I take them. But I think you'll agree this reason trumps them all during November. With my special promo code, you'll get their Black Friday savings all month long. Use promo code CHARLIE and sign up as a new customer to get 50% off, free shipping, plus a free fiber and spice supplement. This is an unbelievable discount, but use my promo code CHARLIE. Call them at 800-246-8751 and use discount code CHARLIE, or order online at balanceofnature.com. Use promo code CHARLIE and sign up as a new customer to get 50% off, free shipping, plus a free fiber and spice supplement. Use discount code CHARLIE to get 50% off, plus a free fiber and spice supplement.
Blake, you got to go through this map conspiracy thing. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. It is such an op by the New York Times. It is one of the pettiest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's so funny. So we were highlighting this last night. It went viral, which is the New York Times. One of their best things. The New York Times, their reporting on election results is great. And one of the things they did is they have a map where once a county's vote is entirely in, you can bring up a map that's how much did this county change relative to the 2020 election. And as we've noted, almost everywhere across America, it's a substantial shift to the right. And so let's put up 332 on screen. So that was the map that we were talking about yesterday, just absolute red juggernaut all over the country, because you have counties in Florida and Texas going 10, 15, 20 points to the right, and then you have, 3 to 5% all across America. Well, apparently it got so bad that the New York Times, they're like, we have to update the map. And so they changed it to 333, put it up on screen. They had to shrink the arrows down. And the funny thing is, it does make it a little more legible, because the red wave was so bad, it was hard to, you would go to where there's small counties in, Virginia or in Kentucky, and it was hard to get on the right one because the arrows were going over each other. But it does have the effect of, making the bloodbath look a little less gruesome for them. And I'm sure once we have the results from Arizona and California, where we also are seeing the red wave, we'll probably be trying to recreate our own version of the old map, because it's very memorable. And
to that point, Blake, I mean, California went significantly more Republican, as did all the blue state America went very much redder. And Charlie, you had that great tweet where you said, this is so much different than 2016, because in 2016, Trump won, yes, but in many ways he did worse than Mitt Romney did in 2012. Mm-hmm. Red America got redder, but blue America got bluer. Not so in 2024. The red America got redder again, redder still, but blue America got redder as well. I mean, it was a complete shellacking electorally for the Democrats up and down the board, up and down different demographic cohorts, and across the age groups. So, you know, Blake, I have to believe that New York Times is doing this for the mental health of their readership, which is not having a good time right now.
The only place where that's not true is Utah and Colorado.
Yep.
Yeah.
Utah and Colorado. Utah has a real problem. Idaho has a real problem. Colorado, we've known they've had problems.
I don't think Idaho has a problem.
Idaho is basically Utah. Whatever happens in Utah will happen in Idaho five years later.
Yeah. So Tyler, should we hire two staff or three in Utah maybe in 2025 just to kind of get our bearings there?
I totally think that the smart thing to do for the movement would be to build a proverbial wall down the Colorado River, up Nevada, up Idaho. I think Greater Idaho is a great idea. I think we should. I'm not kidding. We should really encourage that. But that whole line from Idaho to Nevada to Arizona, we cannot let liberalism escape across that line, because the moment that happens, it changes the map significantly. If Utah becomes Colorado, you're in big trouble. It doesn't seem like a lot.
I agree with you. I agree with you on Utah completely. And I also think there's some cultural trends within the Mormon church that you know much more about, but I've seen from afar.
Well, what is that all about, Tyler?
That concern me?
Minute remaining. What is that all about?
Well, it's like it's the same thing in Catholicism that Catholicism kind of went through, is that, you know, when you have an Orthodoxy church that wants to be cool, you start having problems where they start giving up the ghost on social issues, and that changes your entire community. And when you look at what the goals are of the left, especially in big cities, and so Salt Lake, you look at Boise, they get people elected there that are carriers of those ideologies. And those carriers of the ideologies, it expands far beyond like the nice, you know, good feeling, lovey-dovey social issues that seemingly don't matter, but then start to bleed into your, doctrinal issues, both in your Orthodox community, but then it starts changing everything else outside of that. And that's what we've seen in Salt Lake. That's what we've seen, obviously, in Maricopa County. We've seen it in Las Vegas. We've seen it in Clark County. We see it happening starting in Boise. And the Idahoans are fighting back, which good for them that they're doing that. But there's a lot of creep there that happens, and we've got to stay on top of it.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. A large retail store just canceled the huge order, leaving MyPillow with a ton of extra pillows. But you know what? That's their loss in your game. For the first time ever, you can get a standard classic MyPillow for wholesale prices, only $14.88. But it gets better. For a limited time, they're offering their entire classic collection at wholesale prices. Get queen-size MyPillows for just $18.88. Upgrade to a king for only a dollar more. Get the body pillows for $29.88 and multi-use MyPillows for only $9.88. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code KIRK, or call 800-875-0425 to take advantage of wholesale pricing for the first time ever. On top of that, receive free shipping on orders over $75. They've never been offered this low before. There are limited quantities at this price, so the limit is 10. Once they're gone, they are gone. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-875-0425. Use promo code KIRK to get the standard MyPillow for only $14.88, the lowest price ever. That is MyPillow.com, promo code KIRK.
Tyler, I'm just going to slightly disagree with the Idaho piece, just because I can tell you firsthand experience I can't even count how many friends in California I've seen move to Idaho, and they were all rock ribbed conservatives. So I would say that Idaho and even Montana to some extent is getting an influx of R plus whatever refugees.
Yeah, but the problem
I think Idaho's different.
There's a problem that exists in Utah and Idaho, and again, you have a faltering social knee-bending Mormon
yes.
church right now. So the LDS church, you know, runs a lot of Boise. Boise is growing up and not out. The Democrats are really trying to push
yep.
that. So they've had some major battles the last few years and trying to keep out the progressive. It's funny. I'll give a shout out to all of our Mormons that are holding the line. The America First Mormons, they call them progmos. They call them progressive Mormons that are there. They're trying to take over the city.
And then in addition to that, you have Coeur d'Alene. So Coeur d'Alene is you have the Coeur d'Alene problem, like you have the Park City problem in Utah, where as long as you encapsulate it and you keep it within that space and you don't let them out, then you're good. But if you let that problem grow, because a lot of what's happening in Coeur d'Alene is you have a lot of good people are moving in, but then you also have a lot of libs that are moving in from California. So a lot of the big money guys are moving in and changing things already. And so the good news for Idaho is that Coeur d'Alene isn't like in the epicenter and the heartbeat of Idaho. And the conservatives that are up there have done a really good job at managing it and stopping it, unlike Utah. Utah allowed it in at the wrong time. And we had some bad governors that were in there that allowed it in. The current governor is very weak. Everybody knows that, with Spencer Cox and so many others. And so now it's like, is it too late? Well, no, it's not too late. Idaho has shown that, and I agree with you on that, Andrew. But it's something that you have to keep an eye on. Otherwise, you start losing places you shouldn't be losing.
No, I totally agree. And Utah did the same thing that, you know, Texas was doing, where it was like, hey, Hewlett-Packard, move your HQ from California to Texas. We're open for business. And it's like, well, you know, great in theory if you're just thinking in terms of GDP, which was the old way
yep.
of doing business. Conservatives need to be more savvy than that and say, listen, there's more to life than your GDP bottom line. And you're bringing in all these libs from California, like 200,000 yep. of them, you know, for an HQ. It's one thing if it's Elon Musk's, you know, team doing it. It's a whole nother thing if you're just saying, hey, Silicon Valley, come infect our location. Utah did the same thing.
You hit the nail on the head. And Arizona did the same thing. And Nevada did the same thing, too, where you unwittingly, mm-hmm. and this was the old Coke era of type of politics, which was, and I call it, having just this alternate, despotism, this liberal despotism that happens within these states. So what ends up happening is they move their headquarters to these states, but guess who doesn't move? The bosses still don't move from California. And so they're still reporting. So they move all these Californians
yes.
from the Bay Area to these states instead of hiring people that are in those states. And then they're still reporting to the Californians. So you basically have just expanded the borders, the policy borders of California into Idaho and Nevada and Utah and Texas and Arizona, if you allow it. The answer is really simple, and you hit the nail on the head, Andrew, is don't let them just move everybody here and keep answering to people in the Bay Area. You know, move your headquarters here, but you have to hire people from here, or you have to hire new yep. people. And by the way, your leadership has to also live here. You can't let them just keep reporting to people in San Francisco.
Yeah, I totally agree. Because what happens is these states will give these sweetheart tax deals
yep.
to companies just to lure them in. And it's like, no, there's got to be some strings attached. You have to meet this benchmark, or this benchmark. And then we'll play ball. But you know, in general, I think it's been really disastrous across the West as Californians have, you know, become refugees across the West. And, you know, as Tucker Carlson says, they're making a lot of these places unlivable, just like they did to California.
And we got to stop it. It's corporatist despotism. Can't allow it. Got to not knock it off. Don't show up. I always tease our Freedom Caucus members. Don't show up with the gold shovel at the groundbreaking of this place, you know, digging the foundation, but laying the foundation to invite in a bunch of like liberal hacks to take over our society. No more. No more of that. We have to demand that they hire people that are local.
So, guys, I have a question here. Was this last election result enough to get Democrats out of Texas?
It's a great conversation.
I never want to get arrogant.
That's
about
why I asked
it. Because progress that you make can be undone in future cycles. So I know we've had a lot of discussion. Like, we had Rich Barris on. He was talking about, we can turn New Jersey into a swing state in future cycles. But I feel like my first priority would be like secure the win, which is we did get a swing of Hispanic voters, Asian voters. A lot of different people are voting GOP for the first time. Now you want to consolidate, try to lock that in as a thing people will consistently do. And so I don't want to say they're out of Texas. They might even come back in hard Texas in 2 years. I don't know that we have any major races there, maybe just the governor's election, but they'll want to come back, and you want to make it, you have to really break their spirit over several cycles. Now, Florida, Florida, I could see them bailing on for a while. Those numbers are ghastly there. They're looking really bad. But one of the things about it is Florida's GOP is extremely effective. So you want to get similarly effective GOPs in these other states.
Well, to back to Florida or Texas. So, Charlie, you know, I've been talking about this. So there is an epicenter. There's a nucleus for Democrat focus in Texas, and it's Harris County, Texas. It's Houston. Mm-hmm. So yep. that is the heartbeat for the Bushes as well.
Harris County,
otherwise known as Bush Light County. It's funny that the Bushes all voted for Kamala Harris because they're from Harris County. So Harris County is the place that they've focused in on, zeroed in on. If you can make significant gains in Houston, you can flip the entire state of Texas. So they're not going to be trying to do too much. And in fact, we've seen Dallas move to the right, especially with the conversion.
Fort Worth, especially.
Yeah, there's been a lot of really great white pill stuff happening in Dallas. And again, a lot of, you know, just continuing on the conversation that Andrew just brought up, you have a lot of conservatives actually moving into Dallas, coming from other places, jobs, everything else. It's actually going in. It's like kind of like Phoenix, where it's so big, it's going this way and not this way. It's harder for them. But Houston's not the same. Houston, they can go this way. And that's the real problem for us. So it's something to keep an eye on, Charlie, I think. I think that the Republicans would be stupid not to get ahead of this. We have to staff up. We have to defend Texas. And the place to do that is Houston. And that starts with getting people elected at the very local level, managing elections, doing things that are going to save that city. Otherwise, Texas could go. Once Texas goes, the entire map changes. So you got to do it.
But do you think we scared him away? Do you think that we shushed him away? Ted Cruz, double-digit win. Trump, nearly
What's
a 16
the final?
Point. Actually, what was Trump's final margin?
I want to say it was about 19 points.
And by the way, this has been the apple of their eye. Trump, 14 points. I mean, does that find... So if you're the Democrats here, do you get spooked by the Sun Belt?
Yes.
I mean, you got Arizona that's... And I just want to brag on Arizona. And Tyler, you know this. Donald Trump won Arizona by 3.5 points in 2016. He's on pace for a 7 or 8 point victory. Nearly double that of 2016.
Nine.
More than double.
Okay. That's
so.
Okay.
What I would
we could go, we could go nine. Carry, like, give me nine.
Caution, a note of caution. If you look at, obviously, us doing way better with Hispanics is the big narrative of this election. If you look at the polling, they said economic issues were the number one thing for them. Inflation.
Yep.
Even the border is kind of an economic issue for a lot of them because it's, you know, they're much more affected by the lower wages that come from having more competition from illegal workers and so on. So for them, the economy is important. So one of the biggest things is we need to deliver on working class economic issues. If we do not, these are not people who are going to be ride or die with us for cultural topics. These are people
who
can be won back if we fail on the economy and if Democrats fix up their agenda to have a better economic message, they'll be vulnerable to going back.
Remember, Blake, George W. Bush won 40% of them, or maybe even 44%, I forget, in 2004.
Yep.
And we lost them for another bunch of cycles.
Yeah,
because we didn't do a good job of holding them.
The economy was destroyed, and we took the blame for it. So we have to be good stewards of our country and its prosperity. And if we're able to deliver that, I think in 4 years you could have Vance or anyone else running on a very compelling message that the Republican platform delivered for working class Americans.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Ask my friends at Tax Network USA about the IRS crackdown everyone's talking about. Their advice, if you owe back taxes, do not gamble with the IRS. It's a no-win situation. That's why you need Tax Network USA on your side. Their attorneys and expert negotiators employ aggressive strategies to help settle your IRS issues quickly and in your favor, even if you haven't filed in 1, 5, or 10 years. What gives Tax Network USA the edge? Their preferred direct line to the IRS. They know which agents to talk to and which ones to avoid. And they won't back down until they secure the best settlement for you, which could save you thousands. That's how they've helped resolve over $1 billion in tax debts of people like you. Don't wait until the IRS closes in. Give Tax Network USA a call. It's free. Talk with one of their strategists and see how they can help. Imagine putting this nightmare behind you. Call 1-800-958-1000 or visit tnusa.com/charlie. That is tnusa.com/charlie. Tax Network USA.
gives a preferred direct line to the IRS. They understand how to solve your problem. TNUSA.com/Charlie. So, guys, just let's recap the week. Wow.
We won.
We won.
That's the recap.
We won, and we did so by more than I think any of us honestly expected. And we were all – we could show the cameras. We had our air mattresses, like, ready to go. We had, like, enough food to, like, last for like, you know, an entire winter. You know, we were ready for this election to be a knife fight for days on end to claw out the winning votes either way. And instead, it was clear we were going to win by 10 p.m.
Charlie, I want to give the Turning Point effort a shout. Not only did we, as it stands now, chase more ballots than the margin of victory in Arizona. We chased more ballots than the margin of victory in Wisconsin. We had historic gains with young voters. And I'm just going to rattle off the talking points. We won young men by 10 points. We won young white voters for the first time in a generation outright. We were supposed to lose women by 30 points. We only lost them by 10, young women. We won young voters in Michigan. We almost won them in Wisconsin. Every single campus that Turning Point visited, we saw gains for the Republican ticket up and down the ballot. Every single one from East Carolina State. I was going through each campus, Charlie, to Center County in Pennsylvania, to ASU, U of A. Across the board, a massive historic transition, a realignment. We, as James Woods shouted you out on Twitter, Charlie, we saw the woke mind virus, the strangle that it had on young people, get broke. There was over 2.1 billion views of your campus debates on TikTok and YouTube and Instagram and X. What happened will be written about for generations, and I'm so honored to have played a small part in what this team accomplished. And Tyler, as the architect,
you guys all played it's a team victory.
Tyler, take a victory lap.
Well,
yeah. Let me just say this one real quick. Tyler, you were the architect. You were the architect of the chase, and you deserve a ton of kudos, my friend.
Well, you know, I'll rattle off a couple of different things. Our Chase the Vote program contacted every single person, our almost 400,000 people in Arizona. We had over 140,000 people that we built relationships ahead of the election. We had over a massive 28% turnout in the primary. We're going to have almost 60% turnout of low propensity voters that we chased. It's maybe larger than that. We registered over 25,000 people just in Arizona alone. Tens of thousands across the country that shifted. We're awaiting file data in Arizona, but our turnout, our total turnout per county is 10% greater with new voters. And to give a credit to Charlie, I sent you guys this morning. Right now, evangelicals are outpacing the average in Arizona by 10% in turnout for Republicans. Our Commit 100 program contacted three times over our entire universe. We recruited more than 2,000 volunteers from every state except for Vermont to fill 10 hotels to contact over 200,000 unique additional voters successfully. And we left behind messages and called and texted another 350,000 voters. We knocked doors, sent tens of thousands of postcards, 200,000 text messages in the last week that were personalized text messages from individuals through our application that we developed. We had on text messages, we had 5 million messages this just in Arizona alone, millions in from Brett Favre and other people in Wisconsin. That was thanks to Charlie, Diamondbacks legend Luis Gonzalez, Coyotes legend Jeremy Roenick, Charlie, Donald Trump Jr. that we sent out. We had Vivek at things.
Brett Favre. Antonio Brown
that we had, Le'Veon Bell that was at our event. Our Chase the Vote operations were waiting final data, but we had chased more than 170,000 voters by Saturday of last week. It will likely break 210,000 that we're tracking right now just in Arizona alone. And that's just in addition to the dozens of billboards that we put up. We had millions of views and over-the-top content that we did for Kerry and President Trump. It's wild.
Gotta run.
Unbelievable.
All right, everybody. What a week. A week we'll never forget. What and it week. Is just the start. God bless you guys. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. God bless. Talk to you soon.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.